Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. The Shabbat door has been opening. Prayerfully, all those who are taking rest are coming in too. If you haven't gotten in yet, prayerfully, Abba can bring you in safely and keep you hedged up as you round about your last bit of things that you have to do on our Shabbat day. The Shabbat door is opening, family. Maybe you all take rest in it. Maybe you all allow this day to continue to bless us and always keep us. Always keep us. I'm your brother, Ariel, here at Ko Elohim, by the way of Beth Yahweh Congregation here in Baltimore, Maryland, bringing you another segment into the Art of War. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Toda Aki. Bringing you another segment into the Art of War, which we have been going through for 3 weeks now. 3 weeks. This is the third week that we'll be going into. We will be reading in the book. Matter of fact, we'll be reading in a lot of books. But before I get there, before I get to talking, let me open up with a prayer and the benediction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For opening up the Shabbat door, Father. Thank you for blessing it, Father. Thank you for bringing all those who are taking part of it into it safely, Father. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to lay down our burden for a 24-hour span, Father. A 24-hour span that we get to lay down this world and take up all of you, Abba, to the best of our abilities, Father. And thank you, Father, for just allowing your son to die for each and every one of us, Father. Thank you, Yahushua. Thank you for giving us your mercy and your grace so we can make it to another Shabbat, Father, because we know many haven't, Father. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you just for the mercies and grace you bestowed upon us, Father. May we, who receive mercy and grace, bestow it upon others, Father, even when they don't ask, Abba, that we resemble you and your son, Father, giving mercy and grace when those don't even ask for it, Father, when they're not even expecting it, Father. May we be perfect examples of you on this planet, Father, that you called us to be set apart, Yisrael. You called us to be your sons and daughters, lights to this darkened world, Father. So continue to raise up our spirits, that ruach that you put in within us, Father, and the HaKodesh, that Holy Spirit that is within us, Father, that we continue to build on that, continue to grow within your spirit, so we can come to a complete relationship with you, Father, Yah, because that is our desire, to come in complete relationship with you, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, we pray, Father. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom once again, Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom once again, and we will be reading mostly out of the King James today. And I've been having several thoughts this week. I didn't read so many different chapters in the book. And then it didn't narrow it down to last night and this morning. It narrowed it down for me. But total difference of weeks. Like last week was a lot of meditation. And this week I fell into a pity party. Abba Yah had to show me. Okay, I hear your gripes and all that, but he brought it full circle for me, because it always come right back to him. He reminded me that Tobias, Tobiah, I'm your good. I am your good. So look not for the good of the world. Look for me for your good. And I will give that same advice and same thing that was given to me to each and every one that's in the listening of my voice, that Abba Yah is our good. And we're going to go through ups and downs. We're going to fight. We're going to struggle. We're going to have a multitude of things come our way. But they're all working together for the good of Yahweh. And he is our good. And that's one of the biggest struggles for us, is understanding who is our good. It's not wife. It's not kids. It's not jobs. All those are tools. All those are tools that Abba Yah uses to teach us about him and about relationships. And every relationship goes back to him. Every relationship. If we can see that and understand that. It's all about him and how his relationship with his son, even with his daughter, Yisra'el, kids with his wife, you know, Yisra'el. That relationship, and especially for those who are Israel, not even just in the teaching, much more if you're in a teaching position, but just Israel, period, has to learn the emotions and the understanding of Abba Yah. You're like, hold on, how you going to say the emotions? Hey, Abba say he is a jealous El. So, yes, but that's not emotions as an El mindset. Everything with him is in control. It's never out of control. It's never out of control. It's always in control. But we, as this fleshly being, to grow and learn how to control our emotions, learn how to control our fears, learn how that Abba Yah is our good. So we go through these things. We go through these things. In fact, that is the subtitle of The Art of War today, that the subtitle is Yariel. And that's funny because we have a brother here named Yariel. But the fear of Yahweh, that what came a little yesterday, that is the subtitle of this title. That is what we'll be going through today, and we'll be going through even in The Art of War, about fierceness. But we want to start off looking at fear of Yahweh and how he gave it to me, because a brother of ours, Brother Harvey, he sent out a video the other day, and the guy was talking about the fear of Yahweh, the fear of the Most High, right? And how he was comparing it. He compared it to everyday fears that we have, is what I'm remembering. And I will be putting my own thought in it, too, of what I've been going through with me this week anyway, is we fear a multitude of things. Some of us fear the dark. We fear the unknown. You know, even when we were kids, why wouldn't we go into a dark room? Because it's unknown to us, right? Why would we would dare one another? I remember we did as kids anyway. I dare you run down that dark alley. I know. I mean, we lived off of Brentwood and 25th Street. It was a long alley, and we were dead when it was the dark alley. To run down that alley. If we did, about 10 of us at the same time, we would all run down there, and you didn't want to be the last one, because whatever in our mind we thinking just going to get us, we hog-tailing through that alley. Because we didn't know. We didn't know. And he brought out the comparison of how man fears Yahweh, how man just don't have the proper fear of Yahweh. Don't have that. That has been removed in the last 200 years. Christianity, along with Hillel, along with Satan, have done a great job on the fear of Yahweh. And it ain't just Christianity. It didn't start with Christianity. We can give this way back to Nimrod. We can start with Nimrod, with breaking the fear of Yahweh to mankind way before Christianity came. So we know and understand that if Hillel is Satan, because one of the first things Adam said when he heard the voice walking in the cool of the garden, and Abba or Yahweh asked him, "Why? Where you at?" God, the first thing he said, "I was afraid." The spirit of fear has jumped on him right there. That was the first thing that he said. I was afraid. And that happens to us too when we do wrong. But somehow, some way, Halal has removed when we do wrong. He has removed the fear of Yahweh. It's no different than if you're in the jungle and a lion walk up on you, you ain't going to be, oh, you're going to be shaking in your boots because you in your mind. Going to understand that this is real danger. And that's the point right there. The mind does not come to when we sin and go outside of the will of Yahweh that this is real danger. But if a roaring lion or a tiger or a bear or any big animal in front of us, the real danger that we in, so the fear overtakes us. And for some of us, we won't even be able to move. Fear can grip you that bad. But for some of us, fear can grip you so good, we get in the way. Because it's going to overtake you. We all been afraid before, and you ran as fast as you ran in your life, jumped the gate or whatever you had to do when you was kid, because you felt like you were sucking on air because of the fear of real danger. And that right there, Halal has removed from us as believers. He has removed the fear of real danger when we sin. He has removed that. And we ask the question, we're talking about the art of war. That is a strategy. Because remember when we started off, go back. It's in the archive. Go back. And it talks about strategies. Halal will use things, his advantage. All the past. He will lose anything to his advantage. Remember, we are talking about the art of war. Remember the definition of the art of war. Somebody who is real skillful. Real skill, great at it, of war. Another thought that crossed my mind early today is fasting, even when we fast, even when we meditate, doors are opening. And sometimes when we do these things, meditating and fasting, we have to be careful on what we allowing in them doors. Because when you do that, especially fasting, you get to that point of weakness. We know if we have fast, we have to remember what Yahushua did when he fast. Allah was coming at his weakest point, but he used the word. Remember the doors that we are opening and not completely shutting. I share something about myself, and I shared it many of times about when I was a kid, something happened. And having grew up in a state of severe poverty, not only that happened to me or I lived like that, but what spiritually happened to me. We talked about that. Something spiritually attached to me. So throughout the years, due to 20, 30 years, and by the time I came to Yahweh, that thing had grown. I never went back and repented of that. But if I don't even know it was there from that childhood, it could be with me. Door opened when I was about 10 or 12 years old. Amen. And that's one of the things I would want to get us to understand about each and every one of us. Something came in. You went down in that water and you got baptized. Your life started. Now the purging of us starts once we get baptized and come up out that water. Purging starts. I would say now comb through yourself. Not like me. What you have allowed to attach to you all these years. Remember, you got some people, and they would say this about them, or that's just, and not just them. That's not how they are. That's not how Abba Yah wanted us to be. Or if we came to him, which we all do come to him, damaged goods, we all have. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. So we all come to him, damaged goods. To see where we allow these doors to be opened and what we let in. Cannot allow that to grow with the Spirit of Yahweh. I'm saying you are. We have attached ourselves to things and we have not gotten rid of it when we came to Yahweh. It's time to get rid of these things. It's time to consider when we're doing these things and what is coming next. God in our days. Watching when we pray or when we meditate. Deep meditation. It ain't coming in. Is my gate guarded? And if they get in, am I pulling it down under the subjection of Yahushua HaMashiach? I believe I forgot. Was it 10? Chapter 10? I believe so. 1 through 4. But the thing is, are we fine-tuning and looking within ourselves? Because, yes, the Abba wants us to grab knowledge. Yes, he wants us to get understanding. For the most part, after you get the knowledge of Yah, it's supposed to turn inward, and we're supposed to look at ourselves. It's the law that is a mirror that we look in. Remember? We're supposed to hold that Torah up and look in it. True danger has to come back to the reality of our mind. The true danger of the fear of Yahweh, right? It has to come back in the reality. We can't add nothing to him. We cannot add things from this world. We can't do it. I don't care how similar they are. Ask us not to do that. If they come with power, if they come with giving you something that you know it wasn't a part of you, I don't care. We have examples of that in the book of Shemot, in the book of Exodus. Everything Moshe did, did the same thing. Can give people power. Can give people a spirit that makes them feel like otherworldly. They can do it. Always, I will always have to trump them at the end, right? He always had to pull that spade out at the end and bow, slam it on the table. Hey, ain't nothing bigger than that when in the table. That trumps every other book. I will always have to do that. But it does not stop Halal, Satan, from continuing to. It doesn't stop him from doing that. It don't. But the reality in our mind, and again, I'm teaching from sitting on the side where y'all at too. Danger. The real danger is not totally fearing Yahweh. The forgetfulness of who he really is and what he really is. Scripture says this, because judgment is not done expediently. I'm going to paraphrase this. Man continue to sin. We continue in what we are doing because Yahweh don't come down. But that's his grace and mercy. His grace and his mercy, he always gives. It took him hundreds of years to come down on our forefathers. And when we read about our forefathers, like, wow, You have to say that there's grace and there's mercy. There's no other way you can say it from what our forefathers did. Of danger and not properly seeing Yahweh. It's real. It's just as real as you woke up in the middle of the night and a grizzly bear walking up your steps. I don't know how I got in there, but it's just as real as that. The danger that you will feel that you're in, and you ain't got nothing to protect yourself. I mean, sometimes you could have something. If that grizzly bear get to you before you get to that, it's nothing. You will be like a piece of paper in his hands. We will be like that. The real danger is not properly fearing Yahweh. And that goes across the board. It does not just stop at what, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It don't stop at that. It also stops at not my anointed to do my prophets no harm. He mean that. He mean that. So even when brothers and sisters are putting their mouths on each other, I don't like that as a parent. That's not properly fearing somebody, fearing Yahweh. We do it so easily. True danger is not set in our faces, so we can do that so easily. Participate in all these things. Yahweh said not to do, or you know we don't supposed to do that, we'll be able to participate in all that because of the real danger is not in our face. In our face. But he did tell us this. We, me and a brother, we had a good conversation there. Said, Abba Yah, he leaves breadcrumbs in his work. And we don't pay attention to these breadcrumbs sometimes. But he left this in his word, and we read it. Fullness of it. He said, even the righteous shall scarcely make it in. Why? Why? They could have been an Sabbath keeper, every holy day keeper, all that. It could have been a lot. But they couldn't keep their mouths off their brothers and sisters. They couldn't, not as the brother brought out a couple of weeks ago in the body, and Brother James, their tongue was slandering. Asking about brothers and sisters in the Shabbat every week. That's the part that says, that's not my anointed, do my prophets no harm, or don't slander one another. If you have an ark with a brother or sister, go to them. About that part. But avid Shabbat people, they're every week. Because the totality of the danger of sin, we pay no attention to. We pay no attention to. And here's the other thing. And if you don't know, I'm going to tell you. But if you know, you know what we're saying the truth. If he says, everything is written in the book. Everything. Every idle word out of our mouths is written in the book. Written. Every idle thought, so you fall off. The puppet master on the other side that's pulling strings. Just like he told old Kawa, and Kawa thought in her mind, oh, I could be like Yahweh. You know he don't want you to touch that tree. Because you know once you touch it, you'll be just like him. Jesus forgot all about the commandment that he said. Hey, the commandment then went across. I could be like Yahweh. I could be like the Most High. I know, Adam, I know you told me, but that's all right. When I get me one down, I'm going to take it to heaven. Let him eat it. Here, taste this. We could be like Yahweh. And as he chewing it, the thought comes to mind. Oh, I thought, folks, oh, don't eat. Like Yahweh? That's not what happened when Yahweh came in the cool of the day. And he heard them footsteps. Oh, Adam and Kawah got low. They ran. They hid. They did not know what to expect from breaking the commandments of Yahweh. But the first thing came on them is fear. The very first thing. He didn't know if he was in danger or not, but he knew what that old says, fight or flight, he flew. We bring him back. And it's a journey with us, right? Because we got to do this every day. We got to understand what we allowing within these gates. Within these gates. And if you don't know, call a brother or sister. Talk to a brother or sister. Continue to talk to one another. And I'll be y'all conversations will explode, I guarantee you. I guarantee you, you will grow within yourself, within the realm of Yahweh. Let's put it that way. You'll grow. The more you talk about them, the more you have questions, the more you ask, the more you seek them. Like myself, I had several questions this week. Called my rabbi two times a day. I have some questions. I have some thoughts. You know, like last week I had to call him. I have questions. No, he's like, I love that brother Jesus, because I know I'm going to get a phone call. And then I ask everybody to do that. Call him. Talk to him about the word. He has a vast of knowledge, of Yahweh's knowledge. And if you just get him to talking, he's just going to talk to you and talk to you and talk to you for hours because he wants to give that knowledge away. He wants to give the glory and honor to Abba Yah. Excuse me. Figured himself up, always giving honor and glory to Abba Yah because Abba Yah has filled him with all his spirit, all his knowledge, and he don't get the chance to teach every week no more. So he's just sitting there with all his knowledge, all his wisdom, wanting to talk to somebody. If you was a member here for years, you know that even with Rabbi Gershom and Daniel, the spirit never left. It just went from one man to another. You know, you would talk to Rabbi Gershom and Daniel for hours on the phone because he has so much wisdom. He understands it's not his, and he wants to share it. He wants to share his wisdom, the most powerful wisdom. He wants to give it away. Give it away. And trust and believe, he know how to pull back when he wants to pull back. He know how not to say nothing. He know how to leave cliffhangers. We all know that. those that are here at Beth Yahweh, you know, we know that he know how to leave cliffhangers. And the cliffhangers is for us to go home and study and rewind what he said and go and Abba Yah reveal it to us. So the next time you talk to him, his spirit get excited when you start talking to him about what he was talking about and what Abba revealed to you, and that spirit grows. You will hear the excitement in him. In other words, what you are hearing is the spirit of Yahweh rejoicing. Talking my language right now. Hey, that's the conversation I want right there. No different than when Miriam walked in, I believe it was Miriam, and John was in the womb and it jumped. The baby in the womb jumped. I said, hey, whoa. I said, I don't show over there. I recognize that spirit because the scripture said that Jeconin had the spirit from birth. He had the Holy Spirit from birth. So he recognized the spirit of Yahushua that wasn't even born yet. What happens when brothers and sisters, they talk? That's on them. It recognizes. And it also recognizes when something unclean slides into. When something tries to take the conversation a different way. They recognize that. That, but all that comes with proper knowledge, proper understanding, and properly fearing Yahweh. Properly fearing Yahweh. So let's get into this. Enough of talking. I'm going to go to my opening scripture, family, which is in, y'all know the mantra. Matter of fact, I should be reading out of the King James. I'm going to read out of King James today, but I will go into the WEBA because they have some books that I want to read. But this is Exodus 15, 2 and 3, and this is just the opening scriptures for each and every lesson. Yahweh is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my El, and I will prepare him a habitation, my Father's mighty one, and I will exalt him. Yahweh is his name. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. Amen. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. Hallelujah. First book we're going to, and I just want y'all to listen to this, right? Because last week we talked about that Israel is a pattern of the heavens. That's what we are. And we looked at the Malachim, the angels, and we looked at the priests and how they go hand in hand as Yahweh's messengers. They go hand in hand as Yahweh's messengers. And not just them, but the whole, and there's order up in the heavens, right? That same order in the heavens Yahweh wants to bring here on earth. We learned that last week. So we're going to 2 Ezra 8:20, chapter 8, verse 22-23. But the meat of this is in 21, but I want to read the whole thought. O Yahweh, that abideth forever, whose eyes are exalted and whose chambers are in the air. Listen to the prophet. How the prophet sees Yahweh. You know, and if you will get that sense throughout the whole scriptures, all of them saw him. All of them saw Abba as what he just read. O Yahweh, you that abidest forever, whose eyes are exalted and whose chambers are in the air, whose throne is inestimable, right? Inestimable, whose glory may not be comprehended, before whom the army of angels stand trembling. Before the army of angels, again, our heavenly army, and he is preparing an earthly army. Again, whether we want to believe it or accept it or not, we are at war. We are at war. But the difference between them, the heavenly army, and us is we behind enemy lines. We were set up behind enemy lines. We were secretly put inside this kingdom to tear it down, as the brother brought out. Secretly. But I like what Ezra is saying. Your holy angels, they stand before you trembling. How do we see Yahweh? When we think about him, when we talk about the goodness, besides all that, how do we see him? That understanding coming to mind. How do we see Yahweh? How do we see him? And that will determine how we, Robert gave me a nice description of how he feared his mother. How that little woman put fear in him. That little woman, he said, put fear in him so much that he didn't want to sell drugs. He didn't want to do nothing. He didn't want to do bad in school. He didn't want to do nothing to cause that woman to come bring down thunder on him. Because that's how he saw her. He saw her in that light, that she not only needed to be reverenced and respected, but feared. If I stepped out of line. Again, how do we see Abiyah? How do we see him? How do we see him? 21 again. Whose throne is inestimable, whose glory may not be comprehended, before whom the army of angels stand with trembling, at whose body they are changed to the wind and fire, at whose bidding they are changed to the wind and fire, whose word is sure and things constant, ordinance is strong and commandment is fearful. Yes, we should reverence Abiyah all day long, no ifs, ands, and buts. Yes, the respect should be there all day long, no ifs, ands, and buts. But still, and just as important, of Yahweh should be there too. The intimate danger that we should be in or could be in when we go against his word, when we sin, that should also be there. And it should be, but look how merciful he is. He don't even want that there. What he wants is you to just to be sorry for what you did. That's what he wants from us. Not for you to be shaking in your boots, bent over, cracked. He don't want that. Should be a healthy dose of it within ourselves, but for him as a father, just don't do it again. I see your sorrowfulness. I see that. I see that you truly have repented within your heart, and all the fear and all the anger and wrath that he has goes right away. Because of his love and mercy for us, his love towards us. But should there be a healthy dose of fear? Yes, indeed. Of intimate danger, with that scripture of the righteous will scarcely make it in, we should be thinking and we should be asking what that really means. I mean, open that up to me, Father. Expand that. That really means the righteous will scarcely make it in. So it finishes with, where even the sinner shall be. So if the righteous, the thought behind it is, if the righteous scarcely make it in, ain't no chance for the sinner. Those who are there practicing sin, knowing that they're sinners, knowing that they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. That means you are practicing. Now, grandma that lived 102, 105 years old, and in her mind, she thought she was serving and didn't have no idea. No. She ain't looking at grandma like that. What grandma knew to do, she did wholeheartedly. Now, the grandma heard some truth and grandma ain't changed, old grandma gonna get dealt with. Other than that, she did what she knew to do wholeheartedly. And her mom thought she was serving the Most High. He'd give her a chance. He'll give her a chance to see if you really want to serve me or what you think that you're serving me. And we learned that from the story of Hosea. It wasn't her false deity or her husband's, her lover. It was Yahweh actually taking care of her. Yahweh gave you an opportunity to see if what you're doing over here, will you turn and give that to me? Because I understand. You was doing that blindly. You didn't know no better. But look at here, Grandma. You're 105 years old. You should have a little bit more wisdom than that. Hey, if he told you that you shouldn't be eating pork, And he showed you that in my words. Man, you might want to stop eating pork. You might want to start asking questions. And they don't tell me how old he is, because there's many people that older, have matured in age, have changed, because they come to find out how they was living and who they thought they were serving, they wasn't. But it changed, because they wholeheartedly wanted to serve the Most High. He gives people chances like that every day. The scripture says he winked at our ignorance. He winks at us. But we want to know how we see Abba Yah. Do we see intimate danger when we're doing what we want to do? Or is it that we block that out? We block that out. That's what I was doing. Abba got a journey for us to go on. Yes, the Yahoo family. Isaiah 29, 13 to 16. Now, let's see the contrast here, right? How the Malachim trembled. Let's see that. Yahweh said, because this people draw near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men, which has been taught. What has been taught. The fear, Yahweh said, of me is taught by men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. And the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the understanding of their prudent men will be hidden. Woe to those who deeply hide their counsel from Yahweh. Woe to those who deeply hide their counsel from Yahweh. These are in the dark, and who say, who see us? You turn things upside down. Should the potter be taught things made should say about him who made it? Me? That form said of him who formed it, no understanding. But that's man. That's us. Yes, he made him. Some who even believe that. But he don't understand. He don't see what I do in the dark. He don't see some deep, dark secrets that's deep down in my soul. He don't see none of that.
What goes on in there, man?
Ain't no judgment come yet. Ain't nothing happened yet. I'm still rolling. Everything's still good. But listen to what he said. Hiding these things in your heart. You think that you're still holding on to something and trying to add it in with my worship. I see everything. Nothing we can do. And I know this thing about you. Individual on the face of the planet, Abba knows every detail about them. How you gonna say that, brother? Oh yeah, because the scripture says every hair of our head is numbered. Now that's great detail. That's somebody who's truly paying attention. You count on one arm how many hairs there is. I can't do it. Try to send my brain to something like that. Just one arm. I won't even go to whole arm. I go from the hand to the forearm. I just do that, and I can't do it. Here's that they know every hair that's on your head, and I can number them all. Think we can hide secrets from something like that. And yet we think that we can have these ill wills within us and these thoughts within our minds, and we are hiding them from them. We see How are we seeing? And that question for all of us. How we see Abigail? Graceful, merciful, loving. Scripture does say all that. He is all that. He showed it already. Do we truly know and understand, or do we believe that he know every hair that's on us? That he know each and every one of us all the way down to the last cell? Think about it. Even our own thoughts. Do we believe he's that grand, he's that great, he's that all-knowing? Do we believe it? Because our actions are so different. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. We human, and I'm not giving us no excuses. We allow things in. Sometimes things gonna get in. Thoughts gonna get in, and sometimes we even ride the waves of these thoughts. We give them life because we start going back and forth with these thoughts. Yeah, that's how my pity party came about this week. Because I was riding the wave of these thoughts that came into my mind, and I started getting in with it, and I started feeling a certain kind of way. So the pity party came about. But Abba Yah had to do, thankful, what his word says, pulling down every thought is under subjection to Yahushua. I had to pull that thought down. Talk to my brother. A rabbi, he said the same thing. He was going through something, and then he had to pull it down and turn it back around like, hey, you know what? God's my good. And Brother Harvey, the same way. We allow the thoughts to ride, and we get on that wave, and we ride. You know what? We end up somewhere we don't want to be. And that wave then took us all the way across the street, and we didn't upset the whole house where we live at. We didn't upset the whole job. Whatever we doing, we didn't upset it because we allowed that wave to come in. So thought, and we wrote it, instead of pulling it down, it happened. Trust me, it happened. Witness said, this is how you defeat that. When that thought come in, us how we can defeat that. Yes, I'm letting you know straight up that that's going to happen to you. You know that. I'm letting you know that sometimes unclean spirits whisper in your ears. And sometimes you take heed of that whisper. You take heed of that. And you ride those thoughts. Instead of getting off at Yahushua stop, right? You need to get off. Hello, bus driver, stop. I'm getting off here. Ding, ding. Can't ride that bus alone. That bus taking me somewhere I don't want to be. But we got to submit to Yahweh to do these things, to truly change the character in the nature, and allow the Ruach HaKodesh to get in and ride our own spirit. Our own spirit. Shaul told us, Brother Paul told us in Romans 8, that there's two in my members. He told us these things. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to do what it's going to do. And even with that, we can run the Holy Spirit away because we will not hearken to Yahweh. We're hearken to his word. We can run it away. But when you see Yahweh in a certain light, when you see who he truly is, the glory, he had to come down here in this garbage can that became the garbage can, this filth, this earth, this realm that Halal is the king of, the prince of, Scripture says he is. The heavens look down here, they see darkness. They see criminals running around all day long. And a little bit of light. Those are the ones who taken on the commandment and have the testimony of Yahushua. Now, if we was looking at it from the point of view of they looking at it, it would be like we looking up in the heavens, right? When we look up in the heavens, we see little specks of light. When they look down here in this darkness, they should be seeing the same thing, little specks of light. Be the believers. Till he comes back, just as like that, because he said, all right, 7,000 years come, I'll be there. And the whole, you know what, we won't need that sun up there. We won't need that moon up there because I'm going to be the light. It's going to be light all over. So when we look down, when they look down, they should be looking as we when we look up at night. Children, in all this darkness, the world's in darkness, and the people gross darkness. But where is the light set? Where is the one who fear Yahweh? Fear. And it's a perfect law casts away all fear. All fear. You know? Enoch. Let's go to Enoch. So we want to know how we see Abba Yah. How we see him. We want to just get a glimpse. And I've read this a many times. You know what? I love it. I love it. I love when he takes me back here and get to read and just get a glimpse. As the brother Ezra just said, you are uncomprehendable. And what any man can write down and whatever imagination that you give him, he still haven't done you justice. He have not done you justice. But you allow that to be displayed through the imagination of a man. But he still haven't done you justice. Who is Yahweh to us? Is he all-knowing? Is he all-powerful? I say yes, he is. He's all-knowing and he's all-powerful. Yes, he is. And there's no one beside him, besides Yahushua. There's no other mighty one. None. None. He said he looked. And I take him for his word. Enoch chapter 8, family. Chapter 14, starting at verse 8, for those who be following along in the word. A vision doth appear to me. Behold, that vision, cloud and a mist invited me. Irrigated stars and flashes of lightning impelled me and pressed me forward, while winds in the vision assisted my flight, circulating my progress. He elevated me aloft to heaven. I proceeded until I arrived at a wall built with stones of crystal. A vibrating flame surrounded it with which began to strike me with terror. Into this vibrating flame I entered and drew nigh to a spacious habitation built also with stones of crystal. Its walls, too, as well as pavement, were formed with stones of crystal, and crystal likewise was the ground. Its roof had the appearance of irrigated stars and flashings of lightning, and among them were cherubim of fire in a stormy sky. A flame burnt around its walls, and its portal blazed with fire. When I entered into this dwelling, it was hot as fire and cold as ice. No trace of the light of life was there. Terror overwhelmed me, and a fearful shaking seized me. The brother wasn't there in the physical. He wasn't physically there. Abba Yah elevated the brother in a vision in his mind. And that what he saw, he said, it terrorized me. How do we see Abba Yah? When we're doing what we do in the dark. When these thoughts come about and we ride these waves until we crash, then we want to do a repentance, which is all right. But as believers, we can get off way before it crash. 13. Violently arrogated and trembling, I fell upon my face. In the vision, I looked. And behold, there was another habitation more spacious than this, the former. Every entrance to which was open before me, erected in the midst of a vibrating flame. So greatly did it excel in all points, in glory, in magnificence, and in magnitude. That it is impossible to describe to you either the splendor or the extent of it. This is where he dwelleth. What the brother is saying, I don't have the imagination enough to even describe it to you. All I can say, I don't have the words. I don't have the education, the intelligence. I don't have none of that to describe what I'm seeing in a vision. Terror fell upon me. And we know and understand because we know and we read in the book of Daniel when the angels crept. And these are angels. We ain't just talking about the one who created them. When the angels stand before them, it said that they shook like dead men because of the aura of the angel, the power that was coming from him. Seeing something vibrate. Boom, 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 boom. You feel that power. You ever feel something powerful? They jumped and they felt like dead men because of the presence of a Melakim, an angel. The one who made it. Imagine the power that emanates from him, that comes from him. So much power that was coming from him. He said, look, Moshe, you can't see me. But if you see me, you won't be no more. I'm going to put you in the cliff. And you just see the hinder parts of me. Right? So Moshe peeks out the cliff. And boom, the spirit knocking out his skin so bad, the man walked around like he was glowing. Like he was glowing. Beams of light popping out of him. We cannot comprehend it. Really came down and died for us. What we really have living inside of us that's trying to grow and be a part of it. But those Melakim, those angels who stand in their stead, they reverence, they fear him. They fear him. Not in the sense where he's some bad behind, so he got to walk around, you got to fear. No, not like that. They understand the glory. See the power. Understand that. 7:6. Attentively, I surveyed it and saw that it contained an exalted throne, the appearance of which was like that of frost, while its circumference resembled the orb of the brilliant sun, and there was the voice of the cherubim. From the underneath this mighty throne, rivers of flaming fire issued. To look upon it was impossible. To look upon it, we can. Tomorrow, if the sun out, go out and see how long you can look at it. And that's just the sun. And let me tell y'all something. We won't even see the brilliance of the sun. We have never saw the brilliance of the sun here on this earth. Never. Yahweh said in the same book that we're reading right now that he had to let just the rays come through the gate. He don't even let the full brilliance of the sun come through. It would burn the whole earth up. Something about something brighter than that. Made that. We look at the sun and we in awe of how bright it is and just the brilliance of it, right? And that made that. Someone made that. He said that to look upon it was impossible to look upon Yahushua, the Most High. To look upon it was impossible. Do we truly understand what we are serving or who we are serving? Truly understand that. Again, the Yahweh, right? See, it's Yahweh. That's what we're talking about. The intimate danger when we do these things don't come upon us. The shaking of the boots when we do things we know we aren't supposed to do don't come upon us. But we truly apprehend who we truly serve. Who we truly serve. And that's for all of them, right? And me too. I told you I'm on that side too. I'm just a voice right now, but my body over there too. I'm listening. To look upon it was impossible. One great and glory set upon it, whose robe was brighter than the sun and whiter than snow. No angel was capable of penetrating the view, the face of him. Did we talk about the angels? They couldn't even look at him. Every Melakim does not go before him. Melakim don't, every angel don't go before him. They can't. Only certain three that go before him. Tell us something down here. What did that he set up? You got to go back and listen to Christianity. It did it work on his world? Hallel, did it work? Because every angel cannot go before him. They cannot. It ain't that high. Those who go before him, not that he look at them more special than anyone else, but there are orders. There are to this thing. And it have not changed from the beginning of time. It have not changed. The levels have not changed. Believe it. Change. Abba Yah, I'll give you some understanding so we won't end up as the righteous. Scarcely make it in and be on that other side, that door shut on us. Because we didn't come to some understanding. Even though he sent his ministers, his morays, week after week to tell you, you still didn't come to understand it. Week after week, he tell his morays, said to Israel, daily I have sent my prophets unto you. Stop. That ain't stop. Daily Israel, he sent his prophets unto you. No. Order. Proper way to fear me. There he is. And you are the light of the world. Again. No angel was capable of penetrating to the view of the face of him. The glorious and effulgent. Nor could any mortal being behold him, a fire was flaming around him. A fire also of great extent continued to rise up before him, so that not one of those who surrounded him was capable of approaching him. Among the myriads of myriads who were before him, to him, holy. Constellation was near. Yet did it not sanctify who were near him, depart far from him, either by night or by day. Nor were they removed from him. I also was so far away, with a veil on my face, trembling. And a veil on his face. Hold up. Did not Moshe have a veil on his face too? Did not Moshe have to walk around Israel with a veil on his face because his face shone? The glory of Yahweh, it grew so much, and the beam was shooting at him, he couldn't just walk around the people like that. I also was so far advanced with a veil on my face and trembling. Then Adonai, with his own mouth, called me, saying, approach hither, Enoch, at my holy word. And he raised me up, making me draw near even to the entrance. My eyes were directed to the ground. Oh. He was in the presence. And he didn't even lift his eyes up. So Yahushua left us a breadcrumb. He left us a breadcrumb with a parable with the Pharisee and the sinner, right? The publican, right? It says, the Pharisee stood with his head up, looking right up, pounding his chest. I'm glad I'm not like this one right here, Abba Yah. I'm glad I'm not him. I do this, I do that, looking straight at him. Get far off. With his head to the ground, he wouldn't even look up. That bread come to let us know. You should know and understand. Cut these in mind when people say, I go to them any kind of way. We just talk like we talk. No, you do not. Have honor and respect when you're talking to him. You don't go in the judge courtroom and talk to him any kind of way. I think you're going to question my father like that kind of way. Got peace of mind. You go in there and get that judge all types of respect. You saw Barack Hussein Obama, you don't give him all the respect in the world. Talk to my father like that, any kind of way, you don't honor the position that he has. And that you think, or we think, that is due honor. We give him that. Approach him any kind of way. So did the Pharisees. Left that in there for us. Go and just hold his head up and be prideful talking to him. He ain't hear none of that. The sinner's prayer, I shall not hear. Shall not hear. Humble one. Understand who we're talking to. And bows the knee of his heart. We got to do some more battle with that. We got to get back to understanding who he is, where he's sit at. Yes, he came down here in his garbage can, but he still deserves honor and respect, still deserves his honor, his fear and respect, his reverence too. Understanding who he is all-knowing, all-powerful. There's no slack in him. There's no sleeping. There's no slumbering. What he said in the scripture, he do neither sleep or slumber. And as a great father pays close attention to all his kids, good and bad, and that's the whole spectrum of mankind. Black, white, Chinese, green, blue, whatever you want to call yourself. He pays close attention. That's only male and female. We ain't talking about the alphabet game. No, we're not giving that credence. But male, female, whatever, right? He on this planet, all of us, his kids, all of them, good and bad, turns away, and he sees that sincerity, that repentance of heart, he's accepted. He is accepted no matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what color you are. You are accepted, but the ways have to change. You have to start living the way he acts you. You have to come into a relationship and understand who he is. He's all-knowing and all-powerful at all times.
Scripture spell, I mean, not that many. Three more.
Okay, no matter what. So we're going to Proverbs. We didn't read this one before. Proverbs, reading out of the King James, and two in Proverbs, two scriptures in Proverbs, then we'll get to the book that we did it there. And this is in Proverbs, the first one is in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. That we can do is fear him, is reverence. That is the beginning of your wisdom. That is the beginning of the knowledge of the Holy One. It's coming to an understanding of who he is. And we got no problem giving that honor and reverence to man. None. That we deem that to get that, like our bosses, like close friends, whatever, across the board, right? But he said, the beginning of wisdom, the fear of me, and the knowledge of me. Because you come to know, first and foremost, who I am and what I did for you. First, I laid down my life for you. I died for you. I sent my son to die for you. Now, some honor and reverence and respect should come from that alone. Proverbs 2, family. 2. And I'm going to read 1 through 10. 1 through 10. I got that. My son, forget not my Torah or my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thy son and get understanding in the sight of Elohim and man. Trust Yahweh with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Oh, I'm sorry, then I'm in 3. I'm sorry. I need to be in 2. Forgive me. But that was a good one, too, though. Anytime you read his word, it's good. Anytime. And that's one of the powerful scriptures right there. Good one. Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my word and hide my commandments within thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, to knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand fear of Yahweh and find the knowledge of Yah. For Yahweh giveth wisdom out of his mouth, and cometh knowledge and understanding. He lay up firm wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of the judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Thou shalt
then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path, when wisdom enters in thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Amen. But go back up to 5. It says, thou shalt understand the fear of Yahweh and find knowledge. Understand why you fear Yahweh. Why it's okay, but we should have a healthy dose of fear of Yahweh. And that brings about a salvation for us. So there's something at the end of the road. There's a quote-unquote a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, right? Because a healthy dose of fear of Yahweh will bring about the knowledge and understanding. As my brother said, when he thought to do these things, he thought about that woman. I'm going to come down on me. I ain't want to get that beaten. The same for us. Think about the things that we do. And we know we outside of the will. Trust and believe the angel that's there is whispering. It's telling you, you know you ain't going to be doing that. So, hey, use that power that I gave you. Yes, you got that. I want to win. I was told you all right, man. You're good. Keep going. You don't see nothing. I'm trusting you. Look, keep going. You all right. There's nobody see nothing but you doing. Right? The cartoon wasn't lying when they showed the two angels on the shoulders of whoever. That's real. It was in your mind from both sides. All right, let's get into The Art of War, right, this book. And here, Shemadi, this is good. Look at that. We in book 12, The Fearless, right? Let me read it. Go to the table of contents. The fierceness in combat. That's what this book is about. But Shemadi, here. Fierceness is essential in mortal combat. It is never dependent on the amount of destruction to bring upon the enemy. There must be no hesitance in using any method to bring about the complete and utter destruction of the enemy. It is the only way to ensure victory of a lasting nature. And we talked about that earlier, that Allah will use any and everything to bring about a victory for himself. Remember why we go through this book, and think of both sides as we go through this book. Spiritually. Fierceness is a natural state when troops see the wisdom of their leader. Correct tactics and requirements to ensure that any approach to the enemy will be consistent with victory. It is the perspective leader who prepares for any eventuality and accepts victory with a glad heart. To do battle and to be saddened by it is not to be considered meritorious. A leader and his warriors exist to maintain the state for the ruler. If the leader is also the ruler, this is an advantage for him to understand the need for the destruction of the leaders, he is overthrown. He should be sage and think of nothing except victory, followed by proper intelligence, maintenance of the conquest. When this is done, all things under heaven respond with harmony and in accordance with his true desire. All supplies and materials for the invasion should be on hand at all times. It is a time of laboring when the leader must seek weapons in order to repel an attack. Likewise, he must have adequate resources available if he is to take the offense. He must know the timing is essential for victory and must be in accord with heaven before stating an offensive or defensive attack. Both conditions are the same in the eyes of the leader. When the attack is begun, the leader must show that his timing is correct with regard to all conditions. If the attack is easily repelled, then it is not wise to attempt another entrance into the enemy's camp without reconsidering the situation. The enemy may now be prepared and well deal and will deal destruction in return for entrance into their domain. There will be merciless restructure. The components of the attack and create more difficulty before entering the enemy ground a second time. If you are repelled a second time, it is prudent to get out entirely. The leader understands the type of attack to be sure. If an attack is begun from the outside of the enemy camp and produces the result, it may not be necessary to enter into the midst of the enemy. Perhaps the enemy will destroy himself by being unprepared. If you enter into the enemy's camp, be prepared to fight fiercely and make sacrifices where necessary. The enemy is fighting from a place of death. Let's do that part right there. I got to read that part again. The death to stop. The enemy is fighting from a place of death. And those who are allowing the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to move upon them, what comes to mind when you hear that? The enemy is fighting from a place of death, right? Think about the scripture in Revelation where it says that Satan, that devil, knowing that he have a short time, right? I'm going to paraphrase you, but this is the scripture that comes to mind, that knowing he has come down having great wrath, knowing that he has a short time. Why? What is the short time? He's fighting from a place of death. He's attacking. He's continually waging war at mankind because he's fighting from a place of death because he know he has but a short time. 7,000 years, 6,000 years to them is nothing. It's nothing. It's not a long time. So he's fighting from a place of death, fighting from a place of desperation. And his goal is to bring down as many of mankind as he can, as he can. Let your attack be such ferocity as to destroy the morale of the enemy. Attack his line of supply. Use your engineers to destroy his machinery, survival. Destroy his records and sources of information. Use any method you can to devise and accomplish these ends. Be merciless. Any other form of thinking is incorrect, and heaven will not favor you if you show leniency where none is required. Compassion incorrectly placed will not bring victory. It will bring humiliation regardless of the outcome of the battle. Now think, what comes to mind with that? When Abiyah told Samuel, Brother Shaul, the King Shaul, when you go in there, kill everything. Don't bring nothing out. Don't show no mercy to nothing. But what did he just say? Compassion incorrectly placed will not bring victory. Abiyah told Brother Shaul that. When you go in there, don't you bring nothing out. Don't you save nobody. I want everything, even the cattle. Nothing from them. I want absolute destruction. No mercy. Let me find my place, family. Too many will have discriminated thought about your actions, and it will cost you respect in the eyes of your subordinates and your men. I mean, your superiors and your men. The ruler regards the leader as the protector of the realm. You must be merciless, or someone or more of more resolve will eventually challenge your authority. Your best warriors must be aware of your total commitment. They will know that should they consider a rebellion, they will find themselves up against strong fortifications. If they are foolish, try, and they fail, they must be dealt with in an appropriate fashion. The moderate leader constantly refines his own principle of war. When he is not in danger, he does not fight if he can use an alternate method to destroy the enemy. He does not fail to exploit his victory without delay. He does not act regard to his own desires, but acts for the betterment of the people, the state, and the ruler. Never losing calmness and poise, he always appears to be serene. Anger prevents even the greatness of leaders from acting intelligently. Rage and passion are not suitable for cold-blooded planning and the destruction of an enemy. The judicial leader understands all this and maintains his position with respect to heaven. Heaven looks upon him with approval as a leader of good cause. He is favored among all others. The state is maintained and enjoyed, and the ruler is able to relax while preparation for the future with confidence. Amen. Amen. And again, it's talking about a fierceness, right? Think about the battles of our forefathers and the Maccabees. Just when you get a chance, just read the beginning of the battle. Read where some fell into fear, some had the fear overtake them, and some fell into courageousness, Spirit of Yahweh. But because they had a proper understanding and a proper fear of Yahweh, they was able to go and stand in front of anything. They knew who he was. To understand, you was all powerful. You was all knowing. There is nothing. Nothing. But this flesh, it contains and it holds back what we really are and what we really can do in our mind. Yahushua said it like this. We're going to end with this. He said it like this in the TPO, Matthew 10:28. This is what he said. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in Sheol, right, in hell. Don't fear the man that could just kill you. And will some say that is a natural fear of life? Yes. We just don't run up there, hey, man, I'm good, shoot me. As much as possible, Yahweh wants to preserve life. As much as possible, he wants us to preserve life. He wants us to be able to fight to the death and understand, hey, we have an example of this with Brother Peter, Brother Kepha. When they snatched Brother Kepha up, the fire hit his feet. Brother Kepha sung like a bird. Come on, 3 times. Yahushua told us this. But the end of his life, when he come to understand who that he served, he said, hey, I ain't even worthy to be crucified how he was. Tell me upside down. I know you're great, Kevin. I don't care. but turn me upside down. We had the seven sons and the mother and the Maccabees. Greater than this. Greater than this. Whatever pain you're about to put me through. Greater than this. It's an understanding that they come to. Understanding. So he gives us a breadcrumb with Brother Stephen, right? Stoning him. Heaven's open up. Yahushua sitting at the right hand of the Father. Stop him from cutting him with that word. Stone. Yeah, you know what? I'm going out like a champ. I'm going to go out. When we come to a proper understanding of who Yahweh is and a healthy dose of fear, ain't nothing man can do to put fear in us. Nothing this world can do to put fear in us. But the more we attach to this world, the less that we have fear for Yahweh, the less fear we have for Yahweh. And that's just a fact. The more we attach to the world and things around us, the less fear we have for Yahweh. There's no other way to say it. Don't fear the man that can kill everybody. And it's easy. It's worrying. But when the action is it, right, hopefully we be like Brother Catholic, Brother Peter, coming to understand who he truly is and what is in store for us. Right? What is in store for us? Come to understand that salvation is restored for me. That's there for me. I'll get to see him. Well done. My good and faithful servant. The last word is my dear, is depart from me. You worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. I never knew you. And that's the end of my blog talk, family. Okay. You say this closing benediction, but the fear of Yahweh, the fear, proper fear will stop a lot of things, stop a lot of backbiting and murmuring and all that. Because he's all powerful and he's all knowing. There ain't nothing we doing that he don't go about. Nothing. Nothing. And I tell you what, one more thing, son. You don't need no additives or preservatives. You don't need nothing added to his word or nothing to preserve it. He'll do all that on his own. He just asks us to be a part of it. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to the young. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Y'all once again in the Shabbat day, Father. Father, we ask and pray for the more rain, Father, our Father, that you fill his mouth with your word, Father, as he dispenses among your people, Father, for the morning class and the evening, Father, for brunch tomorrow, that you fill him, Father, that you remove anything that can cloud your judgment in his spirit, that can cloud and move away your words that come into his mouth, that you let him know that he has the power to bind anything that comes his way. He can rebuke it. Any and everything, Father. And all your trials, Father, and the whole household of Beth Yahweh, remind us and allow us to come into that understanding that we have the power to rebuke Allah. But how do Satan, if we truly believe that your son is living within us, and he is born within us. We have that within us. Get behind you, Satan. And the scripture says he will flee, Father. Put that at the forefront of our minds, Father, among the mercy and the grace of you. Put the healthy dose of fear at the forefront of our minds, Father. Father, I ask for forgiveness for my brothers and my sisters and myself for lacking in fear at times, Father, for lacking in understanding at times, for lacking in trusting in you, Father, for lacking in your spirit, Father, for allowing this unclean thing to come and penetrate our thoughts and our minds, Father. Forgive us for that, Father, for strengthen us, Father. Build us up, Father, so we can come to be that great and mighty army. As the army in the heavens are together and your army here on earth form, Father, continue to strengthen us, Father. I ask and pray for all those who are ailing in any way, Father, spiritually, mentally, and physically, that you touch them, Father, that you heal them, Father. And for my Ema, Father, a special blessing upon her, Father, that you bring her through, Father. You continue to uphold her, Father. So the Moraes, Father, that a special blessing upon them too, Father, that you keep their minds stayed on you, Father, and their swords sharp. And all my elders, Father, and my Emas and my Akoti, Father, that you watch over them, Father. And for my Rabbi, Father, that you keep them, Father, close to your bosom, so he can be that puppet and unit of critics. When he speaks, he'll speak your words and not his own. And the whole household of Israel, Father, that we continue fasting in this holy day. In Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Israel. Shabbat Shalom, Abiyah.
I sit at the feet of kings in the morning, in the dawn of my rise. In comes with the blessed and most learned leaders, godly and wise. Just imagine sitting in the council of righteous kings. Thousands of years condemned in a written testimony. Yow, sing a song of a rejoicing man. Yeah, hallelujah. An amazing grace has swept over the land. Hallelujah. Sing a song of a rejoicing man. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Messiah in woman and man. Hallelujah. No understanding that which was not known. Thought it was me, but there were angels all around. The more I learn, I see how much I don't really know. Came into my life and shake the negative down. Blessing me with strength when my weakness is above. These angels, the real people I man and know. The offerings of the righteous, the God's inspired word. So I give unto thee thanks and praise. Sing a song of a rejoicing man. Yeah. Hallelujah. An amazing grace has swept over the land. Hallelujah. Sing a song of a rejoicing man. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Messiah. Hallelujah. And so we sing with joy. Counting my blessings, yeah, yeah. One way is life, no blood. Full grace, All deliverance can be our destiny. For in this life we burn. Beginning of which is the Almighty, yeah, yeah. A blessing for all mankind. A proverbial stand, clear for all we to see. Sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah. An amazing grace has swept over the land. Hallelujah. Sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah. The Most High in woman and man. Hallelujah. In the morning while I'm waking, giving praise, silent talking, conversing in my mind, trying to be real and honest with me, giving time, getting set in my way, in my prayer, in these days. Now look back, for he commit wisdom, extolling, and God bless deliverance, praise. Sing that song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah. An amazing grace has swept over the land. Hallelujah. Sing that song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah. Be that song, be that song. Sing that song, give that song, leave that song, see that song, sing that song, leave that song, be that song, see that song, sing that song, give that song, leave that song, see that song, sing that song. Leave that song, leave that song, see that song, sing that song, yeah.